And now here are some of the letters received at the evening news during the past week. R. King from Royden writes about the pros and cons of the government's train plan. I see they are going to take Anglia Railways back into national ownership, with all the profits going to the taxpayer rather than the shareholders. Sounds fine. Strange how people forget what nationalisation was like and how people complained. There was good and bad about privatisation. The very bad side was the destruction of the British-owned railway building industry. But all the new trains introduced by Anglia would not have happened under government control. Pity they were all foreign built. The problem with big changes was always with the system. It all has to be done in a 5-year period in case the next government come in and changes it, which leaves things open to groups such as unions using the system to get deals that otherwise they couldn't, irrespective of whether it is in the public interest. As for giving the profits back to the taxpayer, remember our national debt is nearly $3 trillion. So any money collected will pass through the government hands and back to the people who supply the debt, possibly the same type of people who finance the private companies.
Tim Barnett from Old Buckingham wonders what we would do if confronted by a Ukrainian-style situation. It is almost 2 years since Russia amassed thousands of troops and weapons on the border with Ukraine. Just imagine a most unlikely scenario, but not impossible occurrence, if a neighbouring country to the UK across the Channel or North Sea invaded the UK and held parts of East Anglia, the South Coast, and northern parts. With those in the UK who supported a negotiated settlement, re Ukraine and Russia, with the former country ceding land to the latter, readily accept that such a foreign country could hold on to captured land here in the UK? If this unlikely scenario were to happen, with Western and Eastern countries supporting such a deal, my guess is that the UK will strongly object.
Carol Melling from Trunch is on a bat quest. Since it appears that Barbastelle bats are very fond of setting up home in the Norfolk countryside, perhaps Norfolk Wildlife Trust should look for them in the 17,000 acres of land currently proposed for the development of solar farms.
Paul Milner from Sheringham comments on the tipping article by Rachel Moore, which we will hear in a few moments. Rachel Moore asked a pertinent question, whether to tip or not to tip. Previously, when a meal and service was special, it was the automatic gesture of thanks. However, today, a growing number of UK hospitality and service providers have adopted the US-style tipping culture, with gratuity prompts routinely added to card payment machines. Worse for customers, it seems, the number of businesses owners applying a suggested gratuity to their card machines has skyrocketed by more than a third, according to the contactless payment firm SumUp. Tipping has become a virtual obligation. Nevertheless, although there is a strong nudge to pay up, the fact that we question this practice is an indication we're in no hurry to follow another US custom. So, if the meal was special and the server attentive, then tip. On the other hand.
And finally, Linda Miller from Dereham has a view on the news item on stockpiling medicines we have just heard about. Reading about the £25,000 of medicines returned to the medical centre in Wroxham may beg the question, why do people stockpile meds? In recent years, several friends have commented about the difficulties of obtaining repeat medicines from their pharmacy due to the pharmacy closing unexpectedly, or the meds being out of stock. Also, the difficulties getting a GP appointment and or queuing for ages at the pharmacy. If all of these issues were to be resolved, no one would need to keep a cabinet full of essential medicines.